In times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Okay, welcome to another exciting show of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Sitting here with the lovely Diane Angerville, my graduate assistant at Bishop's University in the women's basketball program. Diane, how the hell are you?
Good, and you, Coach?
I'm pretty good, considering, you know, yeah. All things considered, not bad. All right, considering we took two massive blows to the head last week, we had two conference games, and, you know, we took it on the chin, but we'll get to that in a second. You know, on today's show, we're gonna recap our week from last week. We had two conference games. In our Meet a Gator segment, we got fourth-year captain Mo D'Archambeau coming in to join us. It's a great, great segment we have with her. And then, you know, we'll preview our upcoming week, what we have happening. We have Concordia this Saturday, so we'll preview that in the wrap-up segment of our show. But let's get on with it. Diane, we had two games last week. Maybe you can give me your thoughts on those games.
So we lost both games. The first one was against McGill, and we lost 67-44 at McGill. I thought that we started the game good, not well, but good, but we didn't adjust that much at the second half, and we took shots that we normally don't take, and the most important part was that we did not rebound the ball as well as we should. So there's that, and also I thought that the same thing happened on our game on Saturday, and we took shots that we normally don't take, and also we weren't shooting the ball so well. And again, we lost on the board. We lost 49-31, I believe, on the glass.
Yeah.
So those were the major parts of
you know,
game.
So we went down to McGill on Thursday night, and you know, I thought that, well, McGill kicked our butt, all right? Yeah. We started the game off slowly. We were down 10-2,
yeah.
Called the timeout. We fought our way back in. Yeah. But this same cycle kept happening where then McGill would punch us again and we would recover,
yeah.
Punch us again, recover. And eventually they just wore us down, all right? And, you know, Diarra had 23 rebounds and 20 points against us. She's a fourth-year transfer student from Clemson University, and she had her way with us. And,
yeah.
And you know, I think your synopsis was pretty good. We did get killed on the glass, and we took shots that we normally don't take. And you know what? Credit McGill. They did not guard certain people that they didn't see as a threat, which clogged up the middle of the key, so there was no penetration lanes for our key people off the bounce. They had nowhere to go. So consequently, they had to throw up shots that they're not comfortable with taking.
Yeah.
And McGill had a good game plan, and Laval kind of followed suit with that. You know, I thought that, you know, give McGill full credit, but I didn't think we were ready out of the gate versus McGill. And that upset me a bit because I think, you know, the younger kids on our team had no idea how to prepare for a conference game in-house. And we've had a really tough non-conference schedule. We played against some of the top teams in the country and some of the top teams in the United States. But it didn't prepare us for a conference game on the road. All right? And one thing that's different in the conference games is the team were well scouted and they know our weaknesses. And they were exposed against McGill. All right? Big time. And we didn't play well on the road, and we were, you know, I thought we had a good third quarter, and then we kind of ran out of gas in the fourth because of our lack of depth, and we took one on the chin, all right? I thought, you know, Friday we had to take a deep breath, we had a recovery practice, and we had one day to prepare for Laval, and we came back on, you know, Saturday we had a great pregame practice. I thought we had a great game plan. All right, and I liked the way that we came out in the first quarter versus Laval.
Yeah.
All right, and the first half, we held Laval to 31 points. Problem was, we only scored 14 in the first half. But they killed us on the glass, and that's the reason why they ultimately pulled away. And, you know, both of those teams have tremendous, tremendous talent, and they got tremendous depth, and they've got tremendous coaching staffs. And you know what? We're getting better by taking some lumps. And I tell you what, like, obviously Saturday night after Laval beat us by 30, number one team in the nation, in our home gym, kind of embarrassed us. Our egos were bruised, but our spirits were still strong.
Yes.
All right, our spirits were still strong. I had a optional practice, and Diane, you were there. Yeah. We were out on the floor, 8 a.m. Sunday morning, and 8 girls showed up.
Yes.
And then we had a tremendous team breakfast, you know, and we had a great practice Monday morning and Tuesday morning, and we're getting ready to play Concordia. So, you know what? Lesson learned, all right? Take a good punch in the head. You get knocked down 7 times, you get up 8 times. And I couldn't be prouder of this team. I love coaching them. And there's no quit in this team, that's for sure. Girls are coming in early in the morning, getting extra shots up. And we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready this Saturday. And so, you know what? I tip my hat to Laval and McGill. But they know that we're going to be back. Yes. And we're gonna be knocking at their door very soon. Now, Diane, I'm wondering, what other action around the leagues around both the University League and the Sejup League happened last week?
So, for the University League, there was another game for Concordia against UCAM, and Concordia won 64-60.
And so that was the only other game in the University League. So, what are the standings right now in our conference?
So, Laval is first; they're 3-0. McGill second, 2-1. Concordia, there are 1-1. Bishops were 1-2, and UCAM 0-3.
So, as it stands right now, we're in a playoff position.
Yes.
Right, and that's where we want to be, and we've got to hold on until we get some reinforcements. All right, like I said. You know, many, many times, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Army, they ain't coming. No. They don't got our backs, Diane.
No.
All right? They're not coming to town. We don't have any artillery. We don't have any, you know, jet fighters coming in to get our back. We're just going to have to dig in and hold the fort until we get some players back in the lineup. Now, any action on the CJEP circuit?
Yes, there are 2 games on Friday. Champlain St. Lambert won 66-51 against Trois-Rivières, and Édouard Montpetit won 61-47 against Champlain Lennoxville.
Perfect. So I just received the U Sports Top 10 for November 20th. So the latest Top 10 for women's basketball in our nation goes something like this. Number one, Laval. All right, who we played last week. Number two, Ryerson, who we played a couple of weeks ago. Number three is McMaster. Number four is Concordia, who we play this Saturday. Number five is Ottawa, who we play at Christmas. Number six is Carleton, who we play at Christmas. Number seven is Calgary, who we played a couple of weeks ago. Number eight is Calgary, number nine is Regina, number 10 is UNBC. So, you know, we're playing a tough, tough schedule, and, you know, we're just going to have to keep fighting, and good thing, like, we're getting stronger every time we play a quality opponent.
Yes.
Do you think the girls are getting tired of playing such tough competition?
The first year, you could tell it's tough for them because they're not used to such competition yet, but the vets are just embracing it. They know they can only get better from this.
Okay, well, that wraps up our first segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We're going to be right back with Mode Archambault.
Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. When the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be.
Welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. It's our Meet a Gator segment, and we're privileged and honored to be joined by Mode Archambault. Mode, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mode is a terrific young student-athlete. She's completing her fourth year. She's only in her third year of eligibility. because in her first year she suffered a knee injury and she had reconstructive knee surgery, and she missed her first full year on the court, and she's only in her third year, and she's had a tremendous impact on our program. She's studying business, and she's doing a double major in finance and accounting, correct?
Yeah.
Mode's one of our captains, and just a great, great player, a great, great student, just an overall great young lady who is a tremendous role model for young ladies out there, and we're very fortunate to have her in our program. Now, Mode, you had a pretty busy summer this past summer. I know you stayed in Lennoxville for the first time, and you know, you did an internship at a company, and I know, like, we provide mentors for some of our student athletes in the women's basketball program, and you've been working with, fortunate enough to be working with Bernard Hamel. I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about that internship and, you know, I mean, your mentorship with Bernard and how it led to the internship this summer.
Yeah, so the program is managed a lot by Keith Cobell.
Yeah.
So I was assigned Bernard Hamel. So we met a couple of times and we exchanged some emails, and he gave me advice on the future and on some other advice in life.
Yeah.
And then after that, he knew some contacts in Raymond Chabot, so yeah, an accounting firm in Sherbrooke. So he kind of gave my name. So I went there to have an interview and meet with the people there.
Yeah.
And finally, everything went really well, and I was hired for the whole summer, so for an internship of 3-4 months.
Okay.
And yeah, it was really nice. I really enjoyed it.
So
I learned a lot.
Was it in your field of study?
Yeah.
And you felt it was practical versus theoretical in the classroom, correct?
Yeah, and it helped a lot now just with this semester, since I've seen a lot of stuff and a lot of new information, new knowledge, like more practically.
Yeah.
It was easier in the classroom this semester.
Yeah, I think, you know, Keith Cobelt, who's our director of operations, is a big believer in the mentorship thing, and not many girls have jumped on board, but Mode has taken full advantage of it, and I think it's potentially could lead to a job in the future, you know? So, you know, I think it's great you did that for yourself, but I also think it's great you did it for our program. Now, one thing I did see, I saw you this year working so hard on your physical preparation, all right? And I'm a firm believer that physical preparation is the key to elite athletic success. And I'm wondering, Can you elaborate a bit on the commitment and the work you put in on your physical preparation this summer?
Yes, so since my knee injury, I had a lot of issues like with the physical strength, and so I wanted this summer to really be focused on that and making sure that at the beginning of the season I was ready to go physically. So we did 3 mornings per week. So at 6 o'clock, we came in on the football field with the physical preparator and the football guys. So we were running for an hour and a half. And we were doing a lot of power stuff, cardio, and different drills.
Speed, agility, quickness.
Yeah, exactly. And then also I did 4 or 5 weight trainings per week in the training room at Bishop's.
I mean, I've seen a tremendous evolution of your body in terms of how fit you are and how strong you are and how you can handle the training loads, you know. And I remember when one day in August, it was hot, and I live way up on Clough, and I was coming back from somewhere, and I saw this person running up the hill, and I was going, man, that person looks like they're in pretty good shape, because I know I have to go up that hill every day. And lo and behold, I look closer, and it's Mode Archambault, and you were just working your way up that hill. Now, do you feel like it's contributed to some of the success you're having on the court this year?
Yeah, for sure, because when you're ready, like, physically, when your preparation is good, like, your decision-making is way better, and, like, being tired when you play basketball is a big issue, so when you're prepared and when you're physically trained well, you're just going to succeed on the court.
Now, you know, maybe we could just touch on, you know, for some of the young girls out there, or young, even young males who may, you know, injuries are a part of sport, and but I also believe that there's a silver lining and stuff. And I think in a crazy kind of way, that knee injury that you suffered and all you went through, I think it strengthened you as a person and as an athlete.
Yeah, because like when you have a big injury, you kind of, like every time you go to practice, every time you see your teammates play, run or whatever, you just, oh, I want to play, I want to run. So for you, it's like when you start running, when you start training, you just want to make sure this is never going to happen. So like yeah. If you physically prepare well, and if your strength is good, your cardio is good, then injuries are less going to happen. So yeah. Yeah. That's when you can...
You know, and I think that the injuries happen when you can't handle the training. Sometimes it's a fluke injury, but sometimes it's because your body can't handle what it's being asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I've noticed that we have a young lady recovering from an ACL injury right now, Tamara Pinto, junior national team player from Argentina, and I know that you keep a close eye on her, and I'm wondering, have you been giving her advice on how to come back from that type of injury?
Yes, my first advice was, because I know when you have your injury, you're like, I want to come back, and you want to come back really quick. But my first advice was really to listen to our body, so that every time you start doing new stuff, every time you start running, don't do too much, because yeah. That's what I did. And at one point, I just went back 3 weeks or a month because yeah. I was like, oh, I did too much or I ran too much. You put a lot of pressure on your knee when you start over and you don't have a lot of strength. So you got to make sure to listen to your body and respect all the timeline.
It's a great message, because it's funny, you know, and I try to tell my coaches this, that we've always got to give consistent messages to the athletes, all right? And it's funny because I just had Tamara Pinto in my office, and I was telling her how proud I was of her, of how she's working in the mornings. But I said to her, you know, you got to be careful and you got to listen to your body. I said it like an hour ago to her. So I'm happy to hear that you're like, we're saying the same thing.
Yeah. Now,
you know, you're in your fourth year, and I'm wondering, you know, now you're seeing other kids who are in their first year, and I'm wondering, like, what's that like for you? And when you look at them, like, what do you see that you once saw in yourself? Is it kind of a neat experience?
Yeah, it's like, it passed really, like, the time flies, because, like, at one point I was like, it's my last year, and I feel like I just came in university. Yeah. So you really got to enjoy all your time and got to make sure, like, you, when you're at the end of your career of basketball or at the end of something, you're always like, I got to make sure, like, I take advantage of all the minutes I play, all the games I play. But, like, you got to do that at the beginning, so you make sure that you don't, like, forget or...
Yeah. You got to take it. You got to take full advantage.
Yeah.
Because your career will just flash before your eyes.
Yeah.
Now, you know, your role on the team has evolved tremendously from when you came in here, and you've been through it all. You came into a program that was in disarray, and now it's very stable, and you've been a major, major part of the cleanup of this program. And I'm wondering how has your role changed over the last 3-4 years?
I think I came in like with not a lot of experience in like rebuilding a program and like making sure everybody jumps in, and we had a lot of issues at the beginning. But I think as my role evolved, is a lot on leadership and try to bring the team together and make sure all the teammates are involved and that everybody feels part of the team, and that to lead the way for the first years, because when you're a first year, you don't know what's going on or you don't know what's going to happen. So you really got to make sure like you leave your mark by just giving the best advice you can to the first year players.
Now, I don't know if you remember this, you know, but... You know, I was an assistant coach when you came in as in your first year. And I remember one day specifically telling the team about you and Ashley, saying how, like, you went from two girls that won 3 national championships at Momorossi, and you decided to come to Bishop's University and study in English and try to helped build a program that had been mired in the cellar for many years. And I don't know if you remember me saying this, but I said, you guys are swimming upstream. All right, you're swimming against the current, and I respect you for that. And I said, because you're swimming against the current, I said, you're going to get stronger. All right, I don't know if you remember that, but you know what? I thought of that the other day, and you're still swimming against the current. All right, and you've faced great adversity throughout those 4 years. All right, and I've seen like this tremendous evolution of a basketball player, and I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about how your game has developed over those 4 years.
Yeah, I think like the best part of it is that once you decide to like be a big part of a program or be a big part of a team, it's like you have a lot of impact, so you got to make sure that your decision is not affecting the team, but also like as a basketball player on the court, like you're not just shooting the ball, you're not just dribbling the ball, you got to do everything for the team. So everything has evolved from me being like coming in from Cégep being like just a shooter and that's it, as like now I can sometimes defend way better. Like I need to rebound the ball.
I think part of the reason I love coaching you so much is I don't really have to discipline you, because you're harder on yourself than I could ever be on you. And I think it's like, number one, you're a great all-around basketball player, and your game is totally developed, and sometimes you don't even know how good you are. But you're as good a player as I've coached, and I've coached some good ones. And your game has, you're not just a shooter anymore. You're a defender, you're a rebounder, you're a playmaker, you're a passer, and you're a leader. And that, to me, is a complete basketball player. And I couldn't be prouder of you. And you know, the impact you've had on this program has been unbelievable, both on and off the court. And I'm wondering, you know, do you see that you've evolved on and off the court while you've been here?
Yeah, I think like when you take a step back and look at what you've done, like what I've done for the past 4 years, it's like I've really changed as a person, but I've really changed as a basketball player. But I think like now I'm way more mature than I was when I came in, and I'm way more prepared for life and to take decisions, and I encounter some challenges, so that's what's going to make me stronger for the rest of it.
See, I think what makes you a bit different than a lot of athletes I've coached is that you still get better every day. You still get better every day. Like today, the last 2 days, I've played you at the one in practice, and it's kind of, you know, it's challenged you a bit, all right? But you made a hell of a decision today that you wouldn't have made yesterday, and it was great. And your game is still evolving, and, you know, your game isn't even close to where it could be if basketball was going to be part of your life for the next 6-7 years, but it's probably not. But I think that's a unique thing about you, is you keep getting better. And you know, we're gonna miss you tremendously once you decide to leave. I'm wondering, because your game has evolved so much, and right now we're facing some adversity in terms of not having some key people in the lineup, so there's a lot of responsibility that's on your shoulders, and I'm wondering how you're dealing with that pressure and how you're dealing with playing so many minutes.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure when like not all our team is ready to go right now. But I think I'm handling it pretty good, because like we just gotta play at one point. Like it's a basketball game. Yeah. But it's also like what the biggest pressure I find is that to make sure that my teammates get in the bus and that they follow what we're gonna do, so that everybody's jumping and that we are making sure that as long as everybody's working together and everybody's doing their job. But that's kind of our responsibility as fourth year for Ash and I. Like we really gotta like lead those players and make sure that everybody's ready to play and everybody's ready to jump on the court when it's their time.
See, like I think of, you know, we played Laval and McGill last week and we took it on the chin pretty good, but you know, we're still standing, and I, you know, I remember a timeout against Laval when I looked at the five girls and I said, girls, the Air Force isn't coming, the Navy's not coming, and the Army's not coming. And I think one day you guys are going to look back and you're going to realize, man, like, that's the beauty of sports. All we have was each other, right?
Yeah.
And we have to count on each other. And, you know, we're tired and we're physically being pushed and there's pressure, but it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm wondering, do you think that some of the stuff you're learning in front of playing in front of 1,000 people, dealing with all the pressure, playing against the best players in the country, do you think that that's going to help you in the future?
Yes, for sure. Just in class, sometimes you take a step back at what if I've learned a lot about pressure in basketball is that you got to step back and everything is not that bad. You always say it's never as bad as it seems, and you just got to make sure you do what you're able to do. And when you're prepared, everything is fine. So you just got to do what you've been prepared for, and everything's going to come down to...
Well, I would like to think that some of the skills that you're taking from playing basketball at this level and playing for me and playing for Bishops and playing in this tough conference is all the intangibles, like the leadership, the resilience, the drive, the determination, the teamwork. Those are all things that are they're not going to be on your CV, but they're going to be in your character, and that you're going to be involved in some environments at work where other people are going to be losing their mind a bit, and you're going to be going, what's the big deal here? Now, I'm wondering, how does Mode Archambault balance the pressures of playing almost 20 hours a week, all right, committing to basketball with lifting and study, game film, and preparing for different teams, the schoolwork? All right. How do you balance all that and take care of your body, get the proper rest and the proper food into your body?
I think the best advice is to make sure you're organized so that there's no empty spot in your schedule, so that everything you do is scheduled, and that every time you have free time, you enjoy your free time. But when it's time to do homework, you do homework, and when it's time to sleep, you sleep and eat properly, and just making sure that everything is under control and that all the time is allocated to the good stuff and at the right time.
Now, I know it must be difficult for you too, your family lives in Quebec City, and I know that they're a huge part of your life, and you come from a tremendous family, and you know, I'm going to apologize to your parents right here on the air, you know, because I know that sometimes they're thinking, what the hell is that guy doing? And we're doing the best we can. What is it like having your mom and dad there at all your games?
It's it's a big, like you just said, my family is probably the biggest part of my life. And I've always have my parents, grandparents, yeah, uncle, everybody was at my game when I was in high school. So for me, my parents being here, it's most important for me, but it's just normal. When they're not there,
where it's,
So that's when I really need my family to be behind me. But I know that even if they're not sitting in the stands for some reason, or I know they're there with me every
in
game.
In spirit.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Mode, you probably don't even realize it, but I mean, you're a tremendous role model for all the young aspiring athletes out there. All right, and I like to say I don't coach females and I don't coach males; I coach players. So we're gonna say, you know, I'm wondering, what advice would you give to an athlete, a young athlete out there who wants to excel in the classroom and on the court? So advice you can give to someone to be a scholar and a champion, because that's what you are. You're a scholar and you're a champion. So what advice would you give?
I think the biggest advice I can give is just hard work. Every challenge you're going to face, you're just going to pass them or just going to overcome them by hard working and by making sure that everything you do is hard work and it's 100% every time, even in school, even with your friends, with your family, you got to make sure you're engaged in what you're doing and you hard work all the time.
It's great, great advice. Now, Mo, you know, there's been a movement amongst the players, amongst the fans of Time Out with Coach Norman, that I don't pick the song of the week anymore. I don't know why, but there's been a big movement. So, you know, it's fallen upon your shoulders to pick the song of the week this week, and I'm wondering what it is and if there's any special meaning behind it.
Yes, so I decided to choose a throwback song. Yeah. So we're going to play Let It Be from The Beatles.
Wow.
So that's a really good song. I really like it. And I think there is not that much meaning, but I just really like this song. And I think it's going to be good for the listeners.
Yeah, I think it's a classic. And I think it has very special meaning because I think one thing that I wish our team could do, and even me, probably more than anything, is that I could let it be at times, right? And
yeah.
And let the players be at times. But listen, it was great talking with you, and let's go out and win a game on Saturday.
Yes,
okay?
Thank you,
all right,
coach.
Thank you.
For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. In this segment, we like to preview our upcoming week games, talk a bit about our upcoming opponents, talk a bit about the different games around the leagues, get the coaching tip of the week from Diane, and then bid you farewell. Now, this week, we're coming off a tough week last week, all right? Played two tough opponents, the number one team in the country, Laval, and we played McGill, who's arguably a top five team. And Diane, it doesn't get any easier this week. We play Concordia, who's ranked number four in the nation.
Yes.
I'm wondering, you know, I know you watch a lot of film, you break down a lot of film for us, you edit a lot of film. What's your thoughts on Concordia as a basketball team?
Well, they're a very physical team, and we know it's always tough to play in their gym. Right now, they have a couple of girls who are averaging over 10 points a game. They have Miriam Leclerc, who's averaging 17.5 points per game right now, and Caroline Tass with 17 points, and Coralie Dumont with 11 points. So it won't be easy, but we know their system by now. We play them every year, and they always do almost the same thing. They love to do ball screens, so we just have to prepare and be ready to go on Saturday.
Yeah, and you make a great point, all right? That gym they play in is the biggest home court advantage in the country. And that's in my humble opinion, all right? And how do I know that? Because I was a Concordia Stinger for 5 years, and I didn't lose many games in that gym because it resembles a high school gym.
Yes.
It's very loud, all right? Our locker room should be a locker room for five people, and we try to fit 16 people in there.
Yes.
All right? There's no room to, you know, it's an archaic facility, all right? But it's a wonderful program. Coach Gittins has done a great job recruiting. All right, Miriam LeClaire, their first-year point guard. I'd love to have Amiken Siciliano matched up against her because that's going to be a matchup for the ages for the next 4 or 5 years. All right, and she's a terrific first-year player. Coralie Dumont was Rookie of the Year in the conference last year. Carolyn Tass was Rookie of the Year in the conference 2 years ago. So she's done a great job of building this program up. All right, and another great point you made was they're a very physical team. They're not a big team, but they play very physical basketball in that little gym, that little shoebox of a gym they have, and it creates this, the culture at Concordia is hard-nosed basketball, but you know what, Diane, I think some of it is fake toughness, right? You know, like, and we got to be able to answer that a bit,
yes.
All right? Like, you know, we train every bit as hard as they do. We're every bit as tough as them. And I think our girls are going to come out with a ton of spirit and energy on Saturday.
Yes.
All right. And we've got a week to prepare for Concordia. And they play McGill on Thursday. So hopefully, we only had a day to prepare for Laval last week. Well, Concordia only has a day to prepare for us this week. So hopefully, we could turn that advantage into something special on Saturday and try to come out with a victory on the road at Concordia. And like you said, Diane, you've been doing your homework because basically they are a ball screen team, all right? And you know what? I think that's one of our strengths, all right? We work a lot on our ball screen defense, and but Concordia gives you a lot of different stuff that we haven't seen this year. And so we'll get all their stuff in by, you know, probably by Thursday. Tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, we'll get their stuff in, and the girls will be pretty familiar with that stuff. And the girls can watch the game online on Thursday night, which will be interesting. Now, I'm wondering what other games are on tap this week in both the University League and the Sejep League.
So at the university level, again, on Thursday, Concordia will be at McGill. Then we play Saturday at Concordia, and then Saturday there's also a game with Laval and UCAM. At the CJEP level, there'll be four games this Friday. Champlain-Lennoxville will be at Montmorency. Dawson will be at Champlain-Saint-Lambert. Sainte-Foy at Édouard Montpetit, and Trois-Rivières at Vanier. And then also there'll be a game on Sunday. Trois-Rivières will play at Édouard Montpetit.
Perfect. Now that brings us to probably the most listened segment of our show, all right, which is the coaching tip of the week, where Diane overshadows Coach Norman every week. All right, I never know what she's going to say, but I always leave my head going, man, this girl's knowledge of coaching is increasing on a weekly, if not daily basis. Now, Diane, what is your coaching tip of the week this week?
So the coaching tip of the week goes to an observation that I've seen, like that I see happen in every level, whether it's at the youth level or the university level. But it's when like we're playing and then things are not going well, and let's say we're losing by a lot. Usually you see that the players are trying to overthink, they're doing too much, and they don't stick to the system. So as a coach, you have to make sure that you calm them down, make sure that they stick together and stick to the system, because that will eventually save them, because they will at least be on the same page and they know what they're doing. So you have to make sure that the players trust that you will make the correct adjustments, that they don't have to, you will lead them, and then they won't have to shy away from. Usually, I feel like this happens because the players are shying away from being uncomfortable and they're not going hard enough. So make sure they listen and make sure that they know that you don't prepare for a game during the timeouts because you only have 30 seconds. So they have to be physical in practice. That's when they're prepared, and that's how they win games, during practice, during the week, not during the game.
Yeah, great advice. And you know, like I said, like you win the war long before you go to battle.
Yes.
All right. And, you know, obviously stuff goes astray in the heat of the moment, and people stray from the system. And so they should at times, because the game gets chaotic. But you got to keep things simple, and you got to have outs. When you're driving a car, you got to obey certain rules, and you got to know where the trouble's coming from. And, you know, sometimes people abort. And they try to do things on their own, all right? But they gotta use their talent out of the system, all right? And learn when to stray and when to stay on course. And sometimes when you do get punched in the face, all right, everybody's got a game plan until you get punched in the face.
Yes.
All right? Mike Tyson used to say that. Everybody's got a game plan until you get punched squarely in the nose, all right? I see our team trying to implement game plans, and I see them sticking with them. Are we straying? We certainly are, but I see so much growth in this team that I am so optimistic about the future of this program and the future of this year that it fills me with a certain amount of joy knowing that the girls are getting better each and every day. So yes. Once again, great coaching tip of the week. Diane, as usual, I'm going to say, I hope next week we can come in here with a big smile on our face.
Yes.
But let it be said once again that sometimes when you win, you lose. And sometimes when you lose, you win. I don't feel like we lost two games last week. All right? I feel like we grew and we were given a great opportunity to grow. And we took full advantage of it. All right? And if we do that again this week, I will be just as happy. All right? But nothing substitutes a victory. And hopefully I'm going to do my job this week and prepare the team as best I can in order to give us a fighting chance on the road in that crazy gym at Concordia. And until next week, I wish everybody a great weekend. All right? And we'll see you again next week on Timeout with Coach Craig Norman.
Cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of you.